Dobar dan svim, spoštovani veliki kancler Alojz, spoštovana gospa i gospod ministri, gospa rektorica, spoštovani dekan, ekscelencije, metropolita Franz in Škofi, magnificencije, honorabilite, spektabilite, civis, akademice, akademici, študentki i študenti, spoštovani gostje, gospe in gospodje. Vesel sem, da lahko sodelujem na tem jubilejnem srečanju Teološke fakultete Univerze v Ljubljani. Danes praznujemo 40. obletnico neprekinjenega dela Mariborske enote. Čeprav vem, da vaše delo posega celo, dlje in obsežneje. Ne želim nadlegovati vaša ušesa z mojo slabo slovenščino. I dovolite mi torej, da nadaljujem v angelskem jeziku. I'm really glad to be here. This is a nice festive occasion, but these are nice people, which is much more important than just anniversaries or dates, to meet nice people. I know that your history, your road is much longer than only 40 years, and it's important to remember history, to get inspired from history, and to do something better, or at least try to go further. I think that vitality and academic freedom of universities is an important sign of overall vitality and freedom of society, any society. So please receive my congratulations and all my best wishes for the future, future with vitality and freedom. The idea of university was conceived and developed in Europe. Since the Middle Ages, universities have been to the fore in developing knowledge, seeking truth, and in defining values, human rights, dignity of person, democracy, respect for opinions and beliefs of others. In short, universities have been important building blocks of current modern Europe. And we look to them still today in number of ways, for number of reasons, for example, to help guide the process of European integration, to help preserve our cultural diversity, while at the same time promoting intercultural understanding. Universities are crucial for Europe's growth, jobs, and social cohesion. However, it is equally clear that in many cases they are not in position to deliver their full potential. Most are not well prepared for the increasing challenges, and this resulted in significant performance gaps with respect to research and higher education systems in other parts of the world. When you speak in the world about universities, on the top of the list are usually not Europeans, not European universities. We are usually on the top in football. So I'm also for sport, responsible for sport. I like to say it, we can be in Premier League, in higher education, but we have to invest, we have to modernize, we have to popularize, care for education. The main factors explaining the situation are known. Fragmentation in very small systems or subsystems, insulation of universities from the needs of labor market, uniformity and many times overregulation, underfunding both in higher education and in research. But universities and higher education have never been a higher priority for European Union than it is now. In our agenda on the modernization of universities, we urge member states to foster modernization, restructuring and innovation. This sense of urgency is also reflected in the renewed Lisbon strategy. Education, and higher education in particular, are regarded as crucial for the strategy towards era of knowledge and globalization. How to build knowledge society if knowledge is not in the center? So we have to put knowledge into the center of attention, of strategy and support. The Commission calls for three types of reforms to tackle these challenges: more funding, better governance, and curricular reform. I will quickly go through the 2 points and then focus more on already mentioned Bologna process, curricular reform. Governance reforms should aim at better management of higher education systems and institutions. In particular, we advocate a new partnership between public authorities on one side and universities on the other. The former would focus on developing the system as a whole, while universities would enjoy real autonomy and responsibility for managing their own strategy, their own priorities and resources. Funding reforms are about increased and more efficient funding through targeted investment in quality, innovations, and reforms. This would enable universities to convince stakeholders that they will get good value for their money. The case for investing in universities, provided they are modernized, focused, and effective, is really very strong. I would say education is the best investment, and I say it not only as commissioner or politician, but as father of my children. The third point, curricular reform, is related to the Bologna process. And this is why I would like to expand a bit longer on this. I also feel that it may have some specific relevance for the future of theological studies. What is the Bologna process about? In a way, it is about re-establishing a Europe-wide area of academic mobility as it existed in the Middle Ages and at the beginning of the modern period. Incidentally, that was also the time when theology was still the dominant university subject, side by side with the liberal arts of the trivium and the quadrivium. One of the emblematic personalities of this era is Erasmus Desiderius Rotterdamus, Erasmus of Rotterdam, the man after whom we named the most popular program, our flagship program, Erasmus for mobility. He was also a theologian and a humanist. Things have changed a lot since the time of Erasmus. Theology passed the lead to law in the 17th century. Then it went on to the sciences and engineering in the 19th century. The number of universities and other higher education institutions have grown steadily until it literally exploded in the past few decades. Participation in the universities grew accordingly, from the chosen few that enjoyed the privilege of higher education in the 15th or 16th century to the so-called massification of higher education today. Higher education structures based on baccalaureus, magister, licentiatus, and the doctor in most European universities were subject to national reforms during the 19th and 20th centuries. Countries invented their own very specific degrees, with the result that academic mobility became increasingly difficult. But hurdles to mobility were not the only problems for higher education in many European countries by the end of the last decade. Study programs, were too long in many countries and fields, and dropout rates unacceptably high. Consequently, the cost of education was too high for students, for families or households, and for public authorities. Also, graduates would sometimes enter the labor market very late, at 28 or even 30. There was often a mismatch between the profiles of graduates and the needs of the labor market, and as a result, unemployment among graduates was high in many countries. Finally, there was a problem of recognition. both within Europe and also for non-European students after they return back from other continents or other countries home. This was because the long one-cycle degrees in many parts of Europe were not compatible with the undergraduate and graduate system that was prevalent in most parts of the world. The Erasmus program, which started actually 20 years ago in 87, brought many of these aspects to the fore. They became visible, very evident. The Commission reacted by proposing tools for Erasmus mobility, for example, ECTS, famous European Credit Transfer System. This was part of Erasmus. Then diploma supplement, thematic networks, etc. By the end of the 1990s, the European countries agreed it was high time to go beyond purely national reforms and to take a more coordinated European approach. The vision of a European higher education area to be achieved through the Bologna process by 2010 was born. Slovenia was and is a part of this from the beginning. The Bologna Declaration proposed a system of easily comparable degrees structured in two cycles and combined with a credit system and appropriate quality assurance procedures. Tomorrow in Brussels, I'm going to launch establishment or announce establishment of European Register of Quality Assurance Agencies. This is part of Bologna process and very important or crucial part, because you can change the structures, you can change the names or titles, but what is the most important is quality. And quality is a base for trust between schools, between countries, between systems, and even individuals in terms of knowledge and credibility. Such comparisons highlighted specific problems in certain countries and areas while making it clear that there was a European dimension to these issues, that many of these problems are simply continental. And this is crucial. We are talking about challenges that require a European approach rather than national or regional ones. This explains why the process developed so fast from the start, with ever more countries knocking on the door to join. Last year, State of Israel applied officially for Bologna process. Non-European countries would like to join the process, and they are working with us on their reforms. Today, as you know, there are as many as 46 countries in the process. So, what about theology? Representatives of the regulated professions like law, medicine, and engineering have in the past years often declared that they felt unconcerned by the structural changes intended by the Bologna process. Although their disciplines were confronted with similar challenges as the ones I described, they simply wanted to maintain their traditional long one-cycle degrees. Similar positions could be heard from some departments of theology. However, I would argue that the Bologna process is not only relevant, but can indeed come to the revitalization of theology as a discipline taught in the higher education institutions. Theological faculties, generally speaking, do not suffer from overcrowding, unlike, say, business studies or law. On the contrary, in most countries, student enrollments in theology have been declining for many years. In times of scarce public funding for higher education, this inevitably reopens the debate, at least at public universities, on theology as an academic discipline. I think solution to these problems is, inter alia, a thorough reform of study structures and contents. This is nothing new to university-based theology. As you know better than I do, perpetual change was a constant of its development since the setting up of the very first universities. The motto, Ecclesia Semper Reformanda, equally applies to theology. But it will not suffice to deal with the challenges of departments and schools of theology. This is where the Bologna process comes in. The key words emerging from Bologna are curricular reform, employability, multidisciplinarity, and networking of institutions. Bachelor and master programs should be combined with programs from other disciplines which can attract young people from Europe and beyond. The hermeneutic and methodological skills and tools that a bachelor degree in theology of 3 or 4 years can provide are applicable and useful far beyond the realms of theology and religious pedagogy. In particular, when combined with elements from business studies, psychology, journalism, or other disciplines. Of course, they can also serve as a sound basis for a master program in a related area. Bologna is also about strengthening the European dimension of higher education. For example, through study courses offered by 2 or more institutions in different countries leading to a joint degree. I can imagine that in the spirit that characterizes, for example, Council of European Bishops' Conferences, you might develop innovative joint programs that would provide unique study possibilities to interest young people from the world. I am convinced that study programs in theology and religious pedagogy can benefit greatly from a curricular reform along these lines. As for any other field of study, persuading young people to take up theology cannot be about a simple change in structure. What counts is content, employability, societal perspective, and personal development. Gone are the days when the career prospect of young people or young student of theology led straight to priesthood. But space for application today is broader and more diverse. Today, universities and other higher education institutions have the responsibility to equip their students with the kind of knowledge and skills that will turn them into employable graduates, and not only in the specific field they have studied. This responsibility applies to theology schools and departments, and not only to those of the Roman Catholic Confession, who have been committed to the objectives of the European higher education area when the Holy See joined the Bologna process fully and officially. It's an invitation for all, and the process is voluntary. In most participating countries, the governments have taken necessary steps to adjust their higher education legislation to the objectives of Bologna process. This country is a good example. Also, most university rectors and presidents are actively supporting the reforms. Now the responsibility lies with the public authorities, the departments, professional associations, also professors and students. I encourage you all to subscribe to the goal of making Slovenia a part of the European higher education area, an attractive place for students, teachers and researchers, not only from Europe but also from beyond of our borders. Ladies and gentlemen, in the near future, more than ever, more will be expected from our intellectuals. Among other things, unbiased judgment, the ability to identify realistic and imaginative solutions, and a single-minded determination to serve to bonum commune, to common good. Today's schools and universities have a heavier civic responsibility than in the past, because we expect them to prepare our young people for the knowledge economy and for a complex world where we all are increasingly interdependent. I think this is another definition of globalization. Growing interdependence. Developing creativity and fostering the ability to deal with different cultures will certainly give an important contribution to the quality of education and training systems. I'm grateful to Slovenian presidency for embracing the theme of creativity and innovation through education and culture. This week I'm going to officially propose to the Commission to declare 2009 as European Year of Creativity and Innovation. Clearly, learning about our own history and culture is the starting point. However, this knowledge should prepare us to understand other societies and other cultures. Getting to know one's roots should never become an end in itself, but a means towards higher goals. In other words, it should not be directed towards exclusion or closeness, but towards inclusion and openness. Open-mindedness, open-heartedness, and cross-cultural skills have always been important, but are becoming more so as Europe seeks to balance its heritage of shared values with the promotion of cultural diversity. We all know that this is a very difficult exercise, but it is worth the effort, because so much is at stake in the quest for a balance between self and the other. I think it was Paul Ricoeur who said, "La chemin le plus court de moi à moi, c'est les autres." The road from myself to myself, the shortest one, is via others. It's an invitation for dialogue of cultures, dialogue of persons. And I believe my words will find an attentive audience here in Maribor today. This university has been a meeting point of different cultures since its foundation. You have learned through your history the importance of respecting the other, and above all, of receiving the other's respect. You, more than many others, are in a privileged position to contribute to the struggle that is implicit in our motto, unity in diversity. This remains a brilliant definition of our united Europe. And when you shorten unity in diversity even more, you get uni-versity. So it's about you. Attention to Europe's diversity of cultures is more than a simple political call. It is also an explicit action of the European Union. For example, this year, 2008, we celebrate the intercultural dialogue, and we had a great launching event in Ljubljana in January this year. Intercultural dialogue represents a long-term objective for our European Union. In fact, intercultural dialogue plays the role of catalyst by promoting integration in many policies. And I understand, I believe, all of us understand integration as participation, not as absorption of newcomers, smaller groups, or assimilation, but as participation in the same community as equals. Ladies and gentlemen, education from preschool to postgraduate is essential to affirm and defend fundamental ethic, civic, and social values such as respect for human dignity, citizenship, equality, and tolerance. Education unites. L'enseignement unit. Bildung verbindet. I don't know, in Slovenian. Spoštovanje združuje. Znanje združuje. Great. And culture defines our values. So I believe education and culture represent the road towards Europe as a community of people, community of shared values. This was a dream of our founding fathers, not only steel and coal or market or common currency. When you open Jean Monnet's memoirs, it starts with the sentence, "Nous ne coalisons pas des états, nous unissons des hommes." We don't create coalition of states, alliance, but we unite people. And it's more demanding process, but more important. Therefore, quality and access to education, cultural awareness, and respect for different identity are important for living together, not only for existing together, but for living together. And where knowledge meets, recognize and accept universal human values, a wise, cohesive society is growing. I wish you all, the faculty and students, to distinguish between information, knowledge, and wisdom. And I wish Slovenia and Europe to proceed from information society to knowledge one, but to stick always to the top ambition to form a wise society. Ladies and gentlemen, Historia magistra vitae est. 40 years is a great symbol of potential human maturity and a new hope. In 1968, your country was deeply in communist time when Eastern countries were building unity without freedom. But still, in 1968, as Metropolitan France mentioned, "Načelo svitati in jasniti," something started. In 1968, in my country, we had Prague Spring. It was also kind of hope coming to the country, reforms. But then Soviet tanks came in the same year, and everything was stopped for more than 20 years. Still, in 1968, thousands of my compatriots fled from then Czechoslovakia, occupied Czechoslovakia, through your territory, and it was a great sign and share of solidarity. Less than a generation ago, you have started an easy road towards free, independent state of Slovenia. Today, you preside over the united Europe in our community, united in freedom. We have got great legacy of peace, freedom, rule of law, common Europe. We have to remember, we have to be grateful for it, but also to share our legacy with those coming later, especially with the countries of your neighborhood in the Western Balkan. And of course, to share responsibility for the future of this community. I wish this faculty and the whole university a lot of support, vitality and inspiration. Vivat, frescat, floreat, academia, ad multos annos.